This week on Morning Edition, we'll travel to one of the most fabled cities in the world. Shanghai is a major seaport. It's China's window on the rest of the world. And this week, it serves as our window into Asia's rising power.
China's one-time nationalist leader, Chiang Kai-shek, once said the rise or fall of Shanghai means the birth or death of the whole nation. A Chinese author compared the city to a cloud, capricious, unpredictable, and perfect.
It's a city that seems to be reaching for the clouds. Shanghai has more skyscrapers than New York City. So we begin our reports with this Chinese city's physical transformation.
Shanghai's architecture can tell you about its colonial legacy, its communist rulers, and its capitalist boom. There are plans to change the city yet again for a World Expo in 2010. NPR's Louisa Lim reports from a Shanghai shopping area.
Tourists cluster around their guide. The visitors have sipped tea in the five-sided pagoda-roofed tea house at the heart of the old city. They've snapped pictures of the chunky grey neoclassical castles of commerce left behind by the Western powers. Now they're paying homage to the latest symbol of Shanghai's urban hipness, a shopping district. But these luxury boutiques, apparently in traditional lane houses, are not what they seem. In fact, this district, Xintiandi, is a reimagining of Shanghai's old streetscape as consumer experience, dreamt up by American architect Ben Wood.
In order for a place to be fashionable, it has to transcend the sort of nostalgia of historic preservation. But I was quite resourceful. Some preservationists would say I was ruthless. In other words, I made openings where openings didn't exist if I thought it improved the cinematic experience of walking the neighborhood.
Traditional music wafts along the street, heightening the film set feel of the place. This is Shanghai's most hyped urban development of recent years. But the decision to leave some old buildings standing is the exception rather than the rule.
What I'm seeing now is more accepted as the new face of Shanghai. I'm now standing 88 floors above ground on the observation deck of a skyscraper. And if I walk around, as far as the eye can see, in every direction I see skyscrapers stretching out into the distance. Next to me, what will be the tallest building in the world is under construction. What's completely mind-boggling is that 20 years ago, this area, Pudong, across the river from Shanghai's original settlement, was just farmland. Now, this viral growth of skyscrapers, the city on steroids, symbolizes China's urban future. Architect Ma Qingyun.
For sure, it has a certain dimension of this symbolic quality to represent ambition an achievement in this new form of urbanization.
Tourists are here too in their droves to gawp and gasp at the astonishing brand new cityscape. For Ben Wood, Pudong is all about show.
It's being designed to create plots of land for monuments to corporate power, the global economy. You can't cross the street in Pudong. They don't have a red light long enough. So they have pedestrian refuges in the middle of the street so that you can rest up to continue your journey. Sometimes it takes as many as 3 changes of the stoplight to get to the other side of the street. So it's really not a humane place.
Yet Pudong too is part of Shanghai's strategy to build for its surging humanity. Almost 18 million people live in Greater Shanghai. But that figure's expected to rise by a third before 2020. And so the city's spreading unbelievably fast. In just 5 years, 9 new satellite towns have been built literally from scratch, each housing about the same number of people as the city of Atlanta. Senior city planner Tang Zhuping says the need is pressing.
We feel that the development and construction of these small towns is pretty urgent. But these experts are even more impatient than we are. They want us to build lively, bustling towns in just 2 or 3 years. That's impossible.
So Shanghai's reinventing itself anew, this time as the center of an urban megalopolis. But as lane houses are leveled to make way for a forest of skyscrapers, is it in danger of losing its Chineseness? No, says architect Ma Qingyun. because Shanghai Seoul is in its openness to change, its tolerance, and its absolute pragmatism.
That's true Chineseness. Anything is in its constant mutation. Nothing is set as a fixity. We don't follow any spatial models. We don't care about the look of the buildings, so much so that everybody still happily lived in Shanghai, even we see some ugliest piece of buildings. We care about how convenient is the life.
Shanghai literally means on the sea. It's the city that looks outwards to the rest of the world, to the future. But what will Shanghai of the future look like in 20 years' time? With change so rapid and overarching, even architects working here, designing that future, can't answer that question. Ma Qingyun worries about endless urban sprawl swallowing up the countryside. I have hope, he says, but what I'm so afraid of is my vision of the future. Louisa Lim, NPR News, Shanghai.
New skyscrapers and a ring of new satellite cities, each based on a different theme. Tomorrow, Louisa Lim continues her series on Shanghai changing with breathtaking speed.
That was the whole idea of Thames Town, to recreate Middle England in the Middle Kingdom.
The client wanted an English town. They wanted a town that functions on its own. It has schools and shops, houses, recreational.
That's coming up. And you can see photos of Shanghai's bustling new districts at npr.org, where you can also read an essay by Louisa on the history of the city's urban development.